The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, our almost weekly chat with Britt Carter from ABC and the Netty Life. Britt, pies to end. We've heard rumblings, really, haven't we, over the past couple of weeks, and now it's finally been confirmed.
Yeah, we knew that they were reviewing their Super Netball program and that they weren't making much money off it. In fact, they were hemorrhaging money with really low crowds and, yeah, just problems trying to get a following at that club. They've struggled since the very beginning. They've been in existence for 7 years now. And, yeah, you turn on your TV a lot of the time and you think, is anyone even there? In their very first game of the season, they had 1,500 people turn up, and the best game beyond that was the Melbourne Derby, which is probably more attributed to Vixens fans than Collingwood. So, yeah, they've really been struggling. And as we know, netball really relies on ticket sales and memberships to make revenue. So not doing so well in that area. And today they've confirmed that they will not be part of the Super Netball League in 2024.
And the games run at the same time as the Aussie Rules games, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's been one of their downfalls, Collingwood, because they have such a huge football following that the idea was if Collingwood had a team, if even half of that following jumped on a Super Netball team, they would be sorted financially and they'd build quite a big fan base. But the problem is they've never really marketed their netball team to their football fans. They've always sort of said, no, we want to keep that separate. But if that's the case and that's your business decision, you can't then go to Netball Victoria and Netball Australia and say, we're struggling here. We need your support. Can we access your pathways? You know, I think that was a conscious decision they made and it's been one of their downfalls. And as you say, it doesn't help that if you are a Collingwood fan of netball and AFL, a lot of the games are scheduled at the same time. So you have to pick. And if you were originally a football fan, you're probably going to stick with that, aren't you? So it's just been a fail in a lot of areas for Collingwood.
The history, though, that has come out of the side and some of those players over the years has truly been special, hasn't it?
Well, they've made the finals three times. So, I mean, we say they've failed to get success, but they made the finals in their very first season. And I think perhaps we went in hard on them not lifting the trophy or going beyond the semis because of the stack side they had. Like you might remember, Andy, there was about six Diamonds players that were linked to that team. The likes of Caitlin Thwaites, Kim Revillian, April Brandley, Shani Norder, like we could go on. And for them to not reach the heights, I think, in that very first season, we were critical because they had the most stacked side possible. So, again, it speaks to the fact that Magpies just tried to buy a premiership first up without actually establishing a strong culture and a legacy that the players could really go out there and fight for. It's very different in football land to netball land. And that's something that Shani has spoken openly about in the past, that they didn't really feel like there was anything to draw inspiration from because they were starting a legacy fresh. So there was no history or former players or any mottos to really, I guess, fight for there. So another one of their downfalls, I think, in that they didn't take the proper time to set up a netball program and really ensure that those cultural values were strong to begin with. And I find that really hard to believe that they would just not do that, because I wrote a piece last week that spoke about how Collingwood is the richest AFL team here in Australia. In 2022, their financial report said that they'd made a net profit of more than $7 million. Now, there are three other big clubs here in Oz that are sort of around that same financial status, and they didn't make anywhere near close to more than $7 million in revenue for 2022. We're talking about a year off the back of two pandemic years. So West Coast Eagles, who are another big player here, they made $3.4 million in net profit, Richmond Tigers 2.64, and Hawthorn $752,000. So they're way behind where Collingwood were. And if we think about how much it costs to run a netball club, it costs about $3 million a year for super netball clubs. So that's less than half of the net profit that Collingwood turned over in 2022. So I wrote a piece where I spoke to Sue Crowe. She's a former sports administrator, and she was with the Melbourne Vixens and Netball Victoria in the very beginning of the Vixens years. So the foundation years of that club when they merged the Kestrels and the Phoenix and became the Vixens. And back then, Collingwood are interested in having a team of their own. So they linked up with the Vixens. There were some ticket deals. There were some cross promotion across their clubs. And I think like they had a really good eye and a look at how the Vixens set themselves up and a successful model for netball administration. And then they got their own club and did nothing like that. So they didn't learn from their experiences and their links to a successful team like the Vixens in the past.
We will make sure that they've got hopefully more than enough wellbeing support put around them. So we're certainly doing everything that we can to make sure we can stand up any short-term and longer-term measures in that regard. Obviously, they all do still have contracts with Collingwood, which don't expire till the end of September. So that financial security should absolutely be there. And in such time, we can, you know, announce arrangements around an eighth licence. Then, you know, there's obviously hopefully opportunities that materialise as a part of that.
Too early then for a response from the Netball Players Association?
Well, we tried to reach out to them today, but they're not really taking calls. I assume that they're bunkered down trying to come up with some sort of statement or response and perhaps just trying to look after the Magpies players. But yeah, haven't had any word from them yet. And touching on that point about government funding, the other thing the Magpies have received, thanks to their netball team, is a huge sponsorship with Nike. So Linda Pierce wrote for Code Sports last week that she understands $7 million from Nike as a commercial partner was linked to the existence of the Magpies netball program. So, yeah, they've definitely benefited from having a netball team, and now that it's not making money, they are happy to drop it. So I think we're all very disappointed here in Australia.
Certainly not on the same scale, but when we saw the end of Yorkshire Jets and that saw the addition of Wasps into the league, that was a huge disappointment when Wasps ended up going into administration a couple of years later. So it's one of those at the time that's really, really sour to
yes.
take.
And I think too with the Wasps, their rugby league team is coming back, isn't it? But they're not bringing the netball team back. So it just shows you again that netball and women's sport isn't a priority. It's always men's sport that becomes the priority. And that's something that Netball Australia made really clear this afternoon in the press conference when Kelly Ryan said Collingwood has decided that football is going to be its priority from 2024 onwards.
We've tried to broker as many proactive conversations as we can with Collingwood and play whatever necessary supporting role that we can in those conversations. But you know, I think it is clear that they have wanted to prioritise their footballing program. So I'm not sure what other support we could potentially have provided at this time.
Is that disappointing?
Very disappointing.
So despite making all of that money that netball would just absolutely lick its lips at, they have said, well, we want all of this to go into football now. They have a women's team in the AFLW, and that's probably where they're going to focus their energy. So if not there, it'll be in their men's footy department. Yeah, it's really disappointing.
I saw something online this morning, statement from Netball Victoria. Had you had a chance to look over that? What did you make of what they're saying?
I did. They think that there should be a second team in Victoria, which is interesting because we've just had that. And, yeah, apparently Collingwood reached out to Netball Victoria a few times over the years to get some support and access to their pathways. And I can understand in one part why Netball Victoria would want to give that over, knowing the powerhouse that Collingwood is and that they should be able to stand on their own two feet. But I also think if someone comes to you and is asking for help and you care about the sport, that there's probably some give and take there. So, yeah, as much as I can understand why Netball Victoria's priority is the Vixens 100%, for them to then put out a statement this afternoon saying they want another Victorian team now is very interesting, because I'm not sure if they're suggesting that they want it to be linked to them. Like, do they want a team that's going to compete directly with Vixens that they also look after? Or are they just hoping that someone else comes up with some private funding to have a completely separate netball team there again. Yeah, I found that statement very interesting.
And finally, just to touch on Jeeva, obviously you mentioned her there, but she is part of the club. She's retiring internationally after the World Cup, but it's too early for her to retire from any league of sorts, isn't it? She's just in that good a form at the minute.
She's been in excellent form. I wonder how much of it is because she obviously is driving towards the World Cup and she knows that that's going to be her last major international tournament for the Roses. I think that would be spurring her on a fair bit. But she certainly seems to be a much better nick this year than she was. Was it last year when she had the back spasms? She was dealing with some sort of lower back injury. It doesn't seem to be plaguing her this year. So at this stage, yeah, I think she could play well into her 40s. Where that is, I'm not sure. But, yeah, pretty sad prospect for her and the rest of the team now, knowing that Magpie sits seventh on the ladder. They've had just 2 wins out of 10 games that they've played, and they've got 4 games still to come before the Magpies' era ends in Super Netball. So how will they get themselves up for that? I just don't know where they're going to draw any inspiration or happiness from. I mean, they're fantastic players, and hopefully they'll play for each other in these next 4 rounds, but it's a very, very sad day in netball in Australia for sure.
And to end this, somebody calling themselves Swoop Luke on Twitter says that the proper send-off for Pies actually clashes with a men's footy game, so it kind of tells us all we need to know, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't that sum it up, Andy? I mean, the fact that Collingwood haven't been smart enough to ensure that their fixtures don't clash with the football team just shows that they were trying to create two audiences all along. And unfortunately, I think in the very beginning of a sports team, you really need to rely on the support you already have and the members you already have, and they just haven't been clever. They just haven't been smart. Collingwood acknowledged in the statement where they confirmed that they won't be around next year that they haven't done their best job at running this club and that they should have done a better job. But then I found it very interesting that 2 paragraphs later they were pointing the finger back at Netball Australia saying, well, you didn't help us. And it's like, hang on, you didn't really help yourself. So yeah, how about we just do some self-reflection before you put the blame on anyone else? But yeah, like you say, I think that tweet just sums it up.
Britt, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Andy.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcast rail.